It's June, and you can bet we'll be rhyming that with moon and spoon on this edition of the Shellac Stack, but don't worry, there's lots more besides that. And that record is celebrating its 90th birthday this week, recorded June 6th, 1923, in New York City. And appropriately enough, the song is called When June Comes Along with a Song, played for us by the Great White Way Orchestra. And the whistler was our old friend Billy Murray. Didn't get to sing on that record, but he sure got to whistle us something. That's a tune by George M. Cohan, and it comes from a musical comedy show called The Rise of Rosie O'Reilly. It's a pleasant enough tune and a great way to start this edition of the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright, and every so often I come your way with a stack of 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century, music from the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and we'll cover a lot of ground on today's program. We got some ragtime to celebrate the upcoming ragtime festival season. We've also got some comedy records, some good 1920s dance bands, little traditional jazz. It's going to be a fun program today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll go ahead and get started with a record by Sam Lannon and his orchestra under the pseudonym of Dan Ritchie and his orchestra. This is a perfect record, one of those good old brown shellac perfects from the late 20s, recorded October 16th, 1929. That makes this, what, about a week before the big stock market crash? Well, the tune is called Same Old Moon, Same Old June, but not the same old you. And it's perfect 15241. And see what you think. ¶¶
not the same old you. The same old place, the same embrace, but not the thrill I knew. You love someone, who can it be? Please tell me, hon, because I can see that it's the same old moon, the same old June, but not the same old you. Thank you.
pleasant record, that. The Victor Salon Orchestra, under the direction of Nat Shilkret, recorded for the Victor label on August 26, 1925, in New York City. That's a pleasant tune called June Brought the Roses, written by John Openshaw and, get this, Ralph Stanley. Obviously not the Ralph Stanley that we know today, but I get a kick out of seeing that on the label nonetheless. Victor 19802. Before that, Dan Ritchie and his orchestra, which was in reality Sam Lannon, a perfect record of Same Old Moon, Same Old June, but Not the Same Old You. And that was Scrappy Lambert singing the vocal under the pseudonym of Chester Hale. And actually, I think a little later on in this program, we'll hear another Scrappy Lambert record as Chester Hale. Up next, though, as I mentioned a little while ago, it is Ragtime Festival season in the Midwest this week in Missouri. There's the Scott Joplin International Ragtime Festival, followed immediately by the Blind Boone Ragtime and Early Jazz Festival. And in honor of those two wonderful musical events, we'll listen to a little bit of piano ragtime for you now. First up, a historically important record, I think, recorded in Portland, Oregon, January 7th, 1950, on the Castle Records label, Castle number 11. This is pianist Lee Stafford, and he's playing Scott Joplin's Gladiolus Rag. And historic, I say, because to my knowledge, this is probably the first time Gladiolus Rag was recorded, probably the first time it was recorded, period, but also the first time as a piano solo in what we now recognize as the classic ragtime style. You know, before this, most interpretations of ragtime that found their way to record were either versions for jazz band or arrangements for a novelty assortment of instruments, or they were outrageous, exciting piano renditions. But Lee Stafford sticks pretty close to the score, although he does play it with a bit of a swing. But nevertheless, it's a neat record, Castle number 11. After that, we'll hear famed ragtime pianist Wally Rose take on another classic rag of the 19-teens, one by Muriel Pollock, called The Rooster Rag. And I first encountered this on a little 10-inch Columbia record that was made in 1953, and later discovered that it was put out on a little vinyl Flexi 78, a promotional thing from Columbia, and that's the source for what we'll hear today. So, two Ragtime Piano 78, starting with Lee Stafford playing Scott Joplin's Gladiolus Rag. Thank you. First up, it was Lee Stafford at the piano, and what I believe to be the first recording of Scott Joplin's Gladiolus Rag, made January 7th, 1950, for the Tiny Castle Records label of Portland, Oregon. Nice performance, even if it does swing a bit, but I like it. After that, it was Wally Rose at the piano, and a little promotional Columbia record of Rooster Rag. That title was issued on a 10-inch LP, and Columbia there pressed it up on a 78 for DJ use. They didn't even give it a catalog number. But it's a fine record. Muriel Pollack, by the way, who composed that, was a popular piano roll recording artist in the 1920s and even made some records for Decca and Columbia in the late 20s and early 30s, some of them with Constance Mehring, some, I believe, with V. Lawnhurst. But she was a marvelous pianist, and it's really a shame that she didn't compose and publish more, because I think that Rooster Rag is one of the finest piano rags of the whole ragtime era, at least in my estimation. I especially love towards the end when the melody shifts to the left hand, to the bass notes, and you get that nice sort of cello-like singing line down there. Well, enough musing on the merits of that. Let's turn to some more records now. And I've got a couple of rich purple label Capitol records for you now, both of these from 1953. First, it's Capitol 2596, Stan Freberg, and one of his big hits of the early 50s, St. George and the Dragonette. And I play this because with the upcoming festival season, I anticipate long hours on the road. And when my wife and I are traveling, I frequently enjoy listening to old-time radio dramas as we go along, and Dragnet is one of my favorites from the 50s. So we'll listen to that, and I won't even tell you what we're going to follow that with, but I think you'll recognize it. So listen up, here's Stan Freberg and St. George and the Dragonet.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. Call me, Chief.
Yeah, it's the dragon again, devouring maidens. The king's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. You got a lead?
Nothing much to go on. Said you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah. You were right.
I was right?
Yeah. It was a gun. 8:22 p.m. I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured. Could I talk to you, ma'am?
Who are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the man. Is that right, Dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He baned me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man. Stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir. Could I talk to you for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't they pick you up on a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah. So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir. We heard there was a dragon operating in this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Would you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts, sir.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
Purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead, and like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he's just a run-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3:05 p.m. I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey, I'm the fire-breathing dragon. You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new 45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pinned that rap on me. Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
On September the 5th, the Dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out, and his maiden devouring license revoked. Maiden devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
I don't know how many orchestral instrumental arrangements of the Dragnet theme were released commercially in the early 1950s, but there's that one by Ray Anthony and his orchestra on Capitol 2562, and I also have one somewhere on a little 7-inch Bell record. Don't remember who's performing it, but it's a neat bit of music from Walter Schumann, the theme from Dragnet. And before that, also playing off the popularity of that marvelous radio show and soon-to-be TV show, Stan Freberg and his St. George and the Dragonette on Capitol 2596, both of those from 1953. Well, on to some dance music now, and Slats Randall and his orchestra, one of my favorite bands of about the 1929 and 1930 period. Unfortunately, they didn't get too many chances to record. Slats Randall was, I think, for a time based in Minneapolis, which is where this particular recording was made. Brunswick sent their field unit up to Minneapolis and cut this side, among several others. Recorded January 27th, 1930. It's Slats Randall playing Skirts. Really fun tune. Brunswick 4779. And we'll follow that with an appropriate, or maybe not so appropriate, response from Lou Waters and his Yerba Buena Jazz Band from 20 years later in 1950. We'll take a listen to that, and I'll let you think about what it might be and then find out what it is. But first, here's Slats Randall and Skirts.
Thank you.
After I took it off the turntable, I noticed that Slats Randall Record of Skirts credits Roberts as the composer, and the vocalist on that record is uncredited, but it's Joe Roberts. Could it be the same guy? I suspect it probably is, the guy who composed it. Skirts was later revived a number of times in the 40s and early 50s by some other bands, notably Tiny Hill, and I know I've got a couple of other versions, but in my estimation, none of them come close to that original recording from 1930 by Slats Randall and his orchestra. Just something about the way he does those little oh-ohs that gets me. Anyway, after that, it was Lou Waters and his Yerba Buena jazz band recorded at Hambone Kelly's, the haunt where Lou Waters and his band played often at that time, 1950. Shake That Thing by Papa Charlie Jackson, issued on Mercury 11065. So from Skirts to Shake That Thing, it seemed appropriate somehow. Well, from that, let's go to a little bit more class. From Der Bingle, it's Bing Crosby now with the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, recorded August 14th, 1935 in New York City. And this is the first of two songs from the film Two for Tonight, which I haven't yet seen, although I'd like to track down a copy and see it. It doesn't show on Turner Classic Movies. It hasn't come out on DVD, but it had some wonderful songs in it, if you can judge by these next two. First, we'll hear Without a Word of Warning, and after that, another song from the same film. Recorded 2 months later in London, October 28, 1935, we'll hear Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans play From the Top of Your Head to the Tip of Your Toes. So, first up, it's Bing Crosby, Without a Word of Warning.
Am I dreaming or am I awake? I can't believe my eyes. Is it really true? Is it all just a lovely mistake? This heavenly surprise, me alone with you, without a word of warning, my life has begun, without a word of warning. Two hearts beat as one. From out of nowhere, you came to me. A breeze passed by, whispering your name to me. Without a word of warning, and strange as it seems, we kissed, and with that kiss, you invaded my dreams. I don't know how it happened, but out of the blue up above, you came along to answer my song of love. Thank you. kiss. On with that kiss. You invaded my dreams. I don't know how it happened. Out of the blue up above, you came along to answer my song of
love. Toes, you're beautiful. Yes, and baby, what's more, life is heavenly in your caress. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, you're wonderful. You're the hit of the show, you're the cameo of loveliness. Oh, what eyes you have, oh, what lips you have, oh, what lovely features. Talk about adorable creatures. You have so many thrillables that I'm all out of syllables. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, you're marvelous, glorious. You are simply divine. Top to tip, you're tip-top, but the top in all, you're mine.
Both of those songs coming from the Bing Crosby picture, Two for Tonight, and both of those songs written by Mack Gordon and Harry Revel, and both of them just wonderful, wonderful things. First, Without a Word of Warning, Bing Crosby himself singing with the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, issued on Decca 548, recorded August of 1935 in New York. And after that, Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans, a Columbia record, number FB1203, from October of 1935, made in London, from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, and we heard Brian Lawrence singing the vocal on that one. Speaking of London, a few months ago, many of you know, I was in London to record Alex Mendham and his orchestra for a CD on my Rivermont label, and the title of the CD is Whistling in the Dark, and if you haven't picked up a copy and would like to support the Shellac Stack program and also get some marvelous music for yourself, obviously I'm biased because I had something to do with putting it out, but I'm very, very proud of it, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful CD, and everybody who's picked it up has told me they really like it, and hopefully they're not just saying that to please me, but I don't think they are. I think it's a good disc. Again, it's Alex Mendham and his orchestra. The CD is called Whistling in the Dark. You can download it from iTunes if you want, or you can buy the actual CD and get a nice booklet that has some liner notes by yours truly, along with Alex Mendham, some photographs, and of course the better sound that you get on a CD. You can find all that if you go to www.rivermontrecords.com or look around on Amazon, all kinds of places you can pick it up. Again, Alex Mendham and his orchestra, and the title is Whistling in the Dark. And I say all of this not just to try to plug the CD, but also as a way of introduction to this next record, which is Whistling in the Dark, played by Eddie Lane's Hotel McAlpin Orchestra. And this is that other record I was referring to earlier. I said we'd have another Scrappy Lambert vocal as Chester Hale, and that's what we've got here. This is Conqueror, number 7782, recorded March 26th, 1931, in New York. A great song by Boritz, and, well, Dana Suisse is the co-composer on this. See what you think. Whistling in the Dark, Eddie Lane's Hotel McAlpin Orchestra. Such a haunting tune, that's Whistling in the Dark, played by Eddie Lane's Hotel McAlpin Orchestra, Scrappy Lambert singing the vocal from 1931. And that brings us to the end of today's Stack of Shellac on this program. As always, I thank you for tuning in and joining me for these old 78 RPM records. It's fun to collect them, but it's so much more fun to be able to share them with other people who enjoy them. If you do like listening to the program, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email. Just address it to shellacstack@gmail.com. That's shellacstack, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you can just visit my website and send me a message there using the contact form. My website is www.shellacstack.com. And that'll redirect you to my own website, which is www.briansright.com. I also post label scans of the records I play, and you can browse and listen to past programs there, or even check the schedule and see where I'm playing ragtime piano, if you're so inclined to do that. Well, as always, I've saved one last record to ride out on, and we return to the June theme for our last record today. It's an Oriole 78, number 620, recorded April 23rd, 1926, And it says on the label that the vocal is by one Charles Nelson. In reality, that's Arthur Hall. And this is on the label, the Majestic Dance Orchestra, but in reality, that's Adrian Schubert. So now that we've sorted out the pseudonyms, we can sit back and enjoy a tune called June. And that'll finish up this edition of the Shellac Stack. We'll see you next time. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. Bye-bye.
You.